Hello and welcome back to the Project of You podcast. I'm Nusha.
Hello everyone, and this is Azita. It's good to be here.
It's great to be back with you guys. We always miss you every time we take a one-week break. I'm excited to be back here. So today we wanted to talk about something that has been blowing up online. Everyone is talking about it. The let them theory. The
let them theory.
And I thought you would be the perfect person to ask about this.
I'm going to say don't let them.
Don't let them. Well, if anyone is unfamiliar with it, because I don't really have much of a grasp on this. What is the let them theory?
Okay, great question. But before we start, I would like to also acknowledge that this podcast is just for sharing information and just give you a bit of a knowledge about the thing that's going on every day. So this is not a full-on therapy. You still need to get support from a registered therapist, counselor, psychologist. So the let them theory, it's very interesting, and it's kind of got this double-edged sword that if you are a control freak and you hear about the let them theory, the first thing you're going to think about, you go, oh my God, no way. I'm not going to let them do anything that they want to do. Well, this is pretty much is you allow other people to be who they really are and you be who you really are. This is something that I always tell my clients. You can just be you and let them be them. But this let them theory, it's got like few layers in there that it makes it a bit more complicated. And of course Mel Robbins talk about this let them theory, and it was in her Instagram that it's blow out and it becomes a trend, let them theory. And she mentioned like about three caveats, but I think there is more caveat in there. And I think to just sit here and say let them be who they are or let them do whatever they want to do, it's a bit controversial. And if you're a parent in particular, it's going to be a little bit challenging for you to grasp the idea. But the most part of this let them theory will allow other people to be who they really are. And by you let them be who they are, they can show you exactly who they are. They show their true self to you. And basically, you giving back the power to them instead of you trying to control them. Because once you start controlling someone to be something or to do something, it's not them anymore. You are kind of forcing who they can be. So you literally, if you are dating someone, you want them to do a specific thing or dress a specific way or behave in a specific ways, you try to change them. And the bad news is that we cannot change anyone.
100%.
We cannot control anyone. We can influence people.
Yeah.
But we cannot change them. We cannot control them.
It's exhausting. It's an exhausting task to take on. You don't have actual control over someone else, over their actions.
Yeah.
You can't, even as a parent, you know, the term helicopter mom is, you know, you're always hovering around your kid, trying to control every little thing. And even with that level of control and monitoring, things will still happen that are outside of your control.
People do what they want to do.
People will do what they want to do anyway.
Yes.
So I guess the let them theory is like, just a reminder, you don't actually have control over anyone. This perception or the need for control is, this is what you've taught me, a trauma response to a feeling of unsafety.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think every single one of us, we strive for two things in life, power and love. Okay. And by controlling people, what we literally trying to do is to gain power over them. And what do we need the power for? Because you either are scared and you want to be having the power to control the situation and control someone is based on your fear, or you say, oh, I love you, that's why I want you to do this particular things or do particular things. But the truth is, there is more into just love and power. Then the fear comes in, then the manipulation comes in, then the controlling comes in.
Yeah.
And then that's not just about power and love.
That's fear. Like, control is a fear thing.
Absolutely.
When you're afraid of whatever it is that you're afraid of, whatever that fear is that's consuming you, that's where the need for control comes from. Because you go, well, if I can control every single aspect, which, spoiler alert, you can't.
You can't.
But even if you could, you think, okay, well, then that way I'll be safe. And this is something that you see a lot in women that come to your practice, women who have this unhealed trauma, end up having this need for control. And it hurts them, and it hurts their kids or their partner. And I guess what the theory, the Let Them theory, is trying to teach people is, the only thing you really have control over is yourself, your reactions.
And the responsibility is on you. And other people's responsibility of their life is on them. And you cannot take that away from them. Because by controlling people, you literally take away their power. So if you keep getting there to help someone, you know, of course, we're there to help our loved one, you know, or a stranger. If we get to the position that we must do it, we will do it. But every time you're there to control a situation, you kind of take away the power from them. That's why it becomes exhausting, because you then take all the responsibility on you for your life and their life.
Yeah.
So then the concept of love here goes under big question mark. Is it a love or is it a fear?
Is it
a love or is it anxiety?
Yeah.
You know, constantly, again, if you're a mother and you're listening to this, or you're a parent, you say, okay, if you go somewhere, you have to call me that you arrived there. You have to call me in the middle of it. And you have to call me when you arrive home, just call me, because I love you.
Yeah.
That's more than that. Yes, of course you love your kids, but you also want to control your kids.
Because you're scared. You're scared something is going to happen to them. You're scared you're going to lose them. It's an immense amount of fear. I can't imagine. I don't have kids. I picture when I do have kids, I'm going to microchip them. I'm going to have an entire hidden room full of ultra-realistic disguises. I will be following closely behind. I'll dress up like a teenager, go to the party. It's terrifying. It's a terrifying thought.
It is. And then they can come to the grandma's house.
But see, I need to do it in a way where they don't know. Because when I was growing up, you were very strict. And at the time, I was like, God, Mom, why are you like... Now I'm like, oh my God. I totally get it. It's a terrifying world out there.
Yeah.
That you just release your most precious, valuable thing that's a part
of
you. And unfortunately, the more you squeeze, the more they slip. So it's so counterintuitive. You have to fight with yourself. And I guess that's why the Let Them theory is a challenge. It's a challenge to practice.
Yes.
Because it's this concept of release, which is difficult, especially if you have trauma, if you've experienced loss, betrayal. And you have to trust, and you just have to find this inner peace in yourself. Because when I was growing up, I felt like, you know, I wasn't allowed to do anything. I couldn't go to sleepovers. I couldn't go to parties. I couldn't date. I couldn't, you know, go out after school. And I know that everything that you were doing was trying to keep me safe. But for me, and for most kids, for really any human being, teenage human being, they find a way to sneak around, absolutely. And then it's even more dangerous.
Absolutely. In particular, if you're a migrant and listening to this podcast, you probably experience that level of control even more higher, because we as migrant here, we are feeling out, we don't have the support, we don't have the social support. It's just it's just us.
And it's a very different value system.
And that fear of it's just us make the people with immigration background to be even more controlling about their children.
Yeah.
But I think the let them theory, it's very similar to let go theory of, you know, mindfulness.
Yeah.
Because this is what, when you say let them do what they want to do, let them say what they want to say, let them, you're literally inviting yourself or giving yourself permission to let go.
Yeah, let go of the outcome.
Let go of the outcome.
Yeah.
Let go of that, you know, the thoughts that it's upsetting you, the thoughts that it's really, really hurting you. Let go of the hurt. Let go of the controlling. Let go of the negative thoughts. And just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Because the moment you are, for example, again, as a parent and as a migrant, yes, I escaped the country, you know, I came to Australia as a refugee and all of that. But then every moment of every day, I was also living with that fear that we left our country, we have no ones here. But it was 10 years past, you know, we had amazing friends and we, you know, had some family here, but I was still living with that mindset of the day I came to Australia as a refugee.
And you were so vulnerable. You have a newborn baby and a 6-year-old child. It's terrifying. I understand the need for control, because everything was out of your control.
So you're fighting.
Yeah.
You're constantly fighting. And as time passed, there is no more fighting necessary, but if you're not aware of it, we're still doing the fight with the imaginary, you know, enemies or imaginary dangers. And what is fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appear real. And most of this controlling that we take on, it's based on, as you said, it's based on fear. So I give you an example. Andy, my lovely husband, loves mowing the grass.
Yes.
Loves it.
He does.
He does. He takes so much pride about his grasses. And I obviously was getting worried. You know, the fear, oh my God, he's spending too much time in sun or it's rain or hail. He was still mowing the grass.
It'd be so hot. Is he going to drop from the heart attack? Is he going to faint? Is he going to
Yes. So all those fears of what if, it was come to play and make me like controlling him, how he's going to mow the grass. Or how many times a week he needs to mow the grass, or what time of the day he needs to mow the grass. And when I actually, by the way, this led them to worry, like we use it, if you didn't know the name of it, this is, you know, but we do it all
of
the
course.
Time.
Mel Robbins articulated it in a really interesting and like easy to understand way, but this is in Buddhism, this is a very ancient concept of letting go of the outcome of what you perceive as the ideal outcome and just allowing things to happen.
So when you feel uncomfortable, when you feel nervous, when you feel angst, and you've got basically anxiety, it's the moment, again, you give yourself the permission to, I want to look inwards. What is it about? And he loved the mowing the grass, by the way. He goes, I'm fine, I'm fit, I enjoy it, I love it, this gives me, you know, peace, and I enjoy being in the garden. But for me, it was all my fear coming into play, and now I know every time I feel uncomfortable, first of all, I will take it to my therapist.
Yeah.
And I go, what is it about the mowing the grass that it made me so anxious?
Mm.
And that's why it's important to have
a therapist. Yeah.
Because you never know where those fear lay in, you know, in your psyche. And then we start analyzing it and I go, okay, it's my fear of losing him. It's my fear of losing, you know, if he's not doing the grass, he's probably doing something that I want him to do. So it was all about control.
Yeah.
Controlling the situation in a way that works for me better. Even though I was saying, I'm worried about him.
Yeah.
But I was literally basing that control over my
your
my
fears.
Own
yeah.
fears.
And the person who suffers in that situation is you.
Absolutely. And of course, the person you love. Obviously, we were getting into arguments. And, you know, he still want to stand up for his point. I want to say, so the struggle.
Yeah.
The struggle that he was pulling and I was pulling. And it's like a tug of war. Like, what if you let them and they let you be experiencing what you're experiencing, but
and be grounded in the present. That this is a very oversimplified way to look at this, but it's really helped me simplify these really huge concepts, which is that anxiety is when you're living in the future and depression is when you're living in the past.
Yeah.
I know that's a very oversimplified way of looking at it, but for me, whenever feelings of anxiety start to arise, I really stop and I go, I'm living in a imaginary future scenario right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not reacting to the present.
It's a fantasy.
The present moment was your husband was mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
But you, your body, your nervous system was reacting as if he had dropped dead and you had to go to his funeral and it was... You were living in this future scenario.
Yeah.
And an immediate anti-venom for anxiety for me that I found is that I drag myself back to the present moment. I go, what's happening right now?
Mm.
Right now, oh, my husband's mowing the grass. I'm home. I'm safe. Everything is okay. Big breath in, big breath out. And just come back to the present moment. And it's such an amazing, just immediate counterweight against those thoughts, because I don't actually know if it, for all
Absolutely.
I know a meteor can hit tomorrow. Like I can't actually predict the future. I don't actually know if mowing the grass is going to be what.
But human generally, because we want to feel safe, we also feel like we need to predict, which again, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
So I do meditation practices and I do mindful practices, and one of the practices I do is that. Again, this is the let them tarry, it's a let go of that thought, is to literally witness that you have no control over the thoughts either. So they come when they need to come and they go when they need to go.
And this is the practice of meditation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the problem is that some people consciously want to hold on to a negative thoughts, consciously wants to be in control of their mind. They consciously want to be in control of what they're thinking, which makes it very, very exhausting.
Yeah.
And takes a lot of energy.
Yes.
And the let them tarry will help you to actually save that energy for you, instead of putting that energy on something that you have no control. When I heard about the let them tarry, for a split second I thought, oh, I think I want to write a book and say don't let them because that's, I think it's a bit controversial.
You have you're a control freak, though.
I am control freak.
So that
freak.
Phrase is going to trigger you in all the worst ways.
It did.
Whether you let them or not let them, they're going to do what they're going to do.
They're going to do what they're going to do. But when I say don't let them, is that you take responsibility yourself. Don't let anyone to abuse you. Don't let anyone to manipulate you. Don't let anyone to distract you, destroy you from your what you want to be, what you wish to be.
Mm.
So there is so much of this let them will actually, and this part of the theory, which explained by Mel Robbins, was really, really interesting for me, was the fact that we're constantly talking about attachment. We're constantly talking about, you know, how to experience healthy attachment. But by let them theory, you also start practicing and experiencing detachment.
Which is such a powerful tool. They teach you in Buddhism, this is again a very ancient,
yes, very ancient
technique.
Absolutely.
This is obviously a modern take on it, and that's what Mel Robbins has done so beautifully.
Mm.
But this letting go, the detachment, and just existing in the present,
yes,
and allowing, and like you said, like let them isn't just let anyone do anything to you and
yeah,
you hang out and
yeah,
just let them is, instead of trying to control everything that, let's for example, a man you're in a relationship with. Instead of trying to control him and, you know, control every single variable to make him a good partner to you, just let go and watch what happens. And if he's abusive, get up and go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not let them isn't just lay there. Let
yeah,
them is let them, like you said,
show you
who they are.
They are.
And
absolutely,
then you can actually
yeah,
have way
yeah,
more insight.
But you know, sometimes we don't let them because we're afraid.
100%.
What if I see part of this person
that I don't
which
like,
is true, and I don't like, and I have to let go,
yes,
of this relationship.
Of this attachment.
I have to let go. So the issue is that we don't want to let go.
Yes.
And if I practice let them theory, that means I have to kind of let go
yeah,
of the power I thought I have.
Yes.
Which I don't.
Mm-hmm.
The control I thought I have, which I don't. Look, you can control someone for a little while through manipulation or fear.
Yeah.
Okay? But that's not going to last.
No. It's not sustainable.
You always also have the fear of what if one day, like, they don't let me to control them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so you live in that anxiety, constantly living in that anxiety. By letting them, you're kind of experiencing this liberation
yeah,
of, okay, so I'm going to do me and they're going to do them. Again, when I met my husband, the first thing I told him is like, look, I'm just going to let you be who you are. Then I am going to decide
yeah,
I want to be with this person or not.
Correct. Yeah.
So if you think you need to change aspect of your personality, go ahead and do it. But I don't want to change you because then you're not going to be you. You're going to be someone else. And you cannot force anyone to change, basically.
Mm-mm.
Basically, you cannot. Even if they show that they have changed, one day, some way, it's going to come out who they really, really are.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well just let them show you who
early,
they are now,
yes,
than in future.
Yeah, 100%. And this, you know, I love that you brought up attachment because, you know, we have this attachment to an outcome that we perceive to be the good outcome and the bad outcome. We don't actually know what that is because we're not psychic. Unless you're psychic and, and you're playing a different
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
For the average person, we assume that when we get into a relationship, the best case scenario is marriage and we're together forever, and the worst case scenario is breaking up. How do we know that? Wow. It's impossible to know that. The best case scenario might be breaking up after 1 week and saving yourself 20 years of misery. You don't know. You're not
yeah,
psychic. You have an assumption of an imagined future that you've literally made up in your head based on who knows what, based on previous trauma, attachment issues, whatever it is, whatever you've gone through.
Mm.
You have this image in your head. You become attached to this image.
Yeah.
And that can even be a bad image, like with you, with your husband. And, oh my God, I've got this image in my head that him mowing the lawn is going to lead to something catastrophic. Yeah. We start to, our brain can't tell the difference between a reality and a very, very, you know, well thought out, imagined, hypothetical situation. So we start reacting to it and we start fighting for the concept of this. And again, this is a very ancient concept. The concept is to let go of the outcome and exist in the present.
Yeah.
Because if the present is, I've just started dating this guy and he's not organizing dates, he's not buying me flowers, he's not texting me
he's
back.
He's telling you
let
who
him,
he is.
Let him.
Yes.
Stop thinking about the hypothetical future. Let them show you the present reality and then act accordingly to that.
Yeah.
So that's the...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I bet you lots of parents have difficulty with this concept. So as a parent, and you hopefully as a future parent, I wonder, what do you think people feel? You know, this video on Instagram was, this reel was, all of a sudden was so
viral.
So viral. And I've got a feeling that lots of kids must have sent that to their parents. See, you should let me be who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, let's say there's a scenario that this teenager doesn't want to go to school, want to stay in bed, want to play video game. What are you going to do?
Look,
are you going to let them?
This is a different scenario because when your child is underage, you are their guardian and you make decisions for them. It's a very different scenario.
Yeah.
You are not equal human beings on an equal playing field. You are their guardian. You make medical decisions for them. You make decisions about their education. So in that scenario, they have to let you do what you're going to do. But if you're two consenting adults who are equal human beings, that's when the let them theory comes in place. That's when you gotta. That's when you practice.
Yeah,
that. It's hard with teenagers. You have to make the call as the
so
adult.
So you really have to do the cost value of what you're going to let them do. If that thing is really going to affect their future, if that's really going to affect their health, their mental health, their physical health, of course, if they want to jump off the cliff, you're not going to let them jump off the cliff. So as you said, yes, you are a parent, you're responsible, you have to be there, you have to guide them, make sure that, you know, they again, future is just a promise. We don't know if it's coming. But the things we do today, possibly, not for sure, possibly can affect our future. We know lots of people with, you know, horrible history or background, they turn their life around and become so successful and become, you know, in their adulthood. So we don't know, but possibly you still need to guide your kids, which I'm going to give you a tool that can help to turn your controlling into something positive.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd love that.
So instead of trying to control, you can either... You want to influence their behavior because you cannot control them. Because if you go full force and you try to control them, they find a way to escape.
Yeah.
So what you want instead, you want to influence their behavior. One, by inspiring them.
Yes, I love that.
To be someone or to do something for themselves. Number two, which again, this can be controversial, but if you do it authentically, I think there's nothing wrong with manipulate. Manipulate authentically. So how you manipulate someone authentically is that they're going to win. They are the winner in here anyway. But you just help them to see the situation differently. So inspiring them or manipulating them authentically, it's going to be your basically your tools to influence someone's behavior instead of using force or using scaring them, guilt them, shame them. We can do all of that.
Yeah.
But is that good for them
or
not? We can get people to do anything for you if you start shaming them from, you know, early age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you make your kids feel guilty, you can get them to call you if you, you know, if you'd be really good at make them feel guilty. But is that nice?
It's not an authentic relationship.
That's not an authentic relationship. Do you feel good about it?
Mm.
No. You might get the phone call, but is it genuine?
Mm.
Is it when you hold that phone call, does it feel good? So that's where I always believe that, you know, when the power and love come together, they can turn to this beautiful dance of life, or they can be so smothering. If you just, I love you, 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 you want to control that person with love.
Mm.
That doesn't feel good.
Mm.
Or is it forceful and power? You go full force and you want to scare them and you want to control them. That doesn't feel good either. But however, if you turn it to a dance, you know, one step love goes forward, one step power goes forward. It's beautiful. You enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with power. I don't think power is a bad thing. It's by itself is neutral. How you use that power is make it a negative things. So it's all of this concept of let go, let them be who you are, let them be who they are. It's just going to help you to feel more peace, to be liberated, to feel like you don't have to control everything, you don't have to control everybody. You just sit back. When you're trying to control someone as if you're in a tiny boat, that's what Mel Robin was saying in her podcast, you're in a tiny boat with a paddle and you're trying to paddle against the stream, upstream. And it's exhausting. So sometimes when life becomes tiring, exhausting, with a lot of pressure, the best thing is just to let go. Let the current take you and be in the flow, with the flow, because that makes you don't have to try so hard to be someone, don't have to try to control the situation. And it's, you know, this invitation to rest and experience peace.
And I think we can all use more of that.
We can all, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah,
I feel like I have a much better understanding of this theory
so
now.
So don't freak out. You don't have to let them do
whatever.
To you. But the things that, you know,
outside
it's
your
not
control.
Your business in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your business how someone wants to do, how they want to dress. If, for example, if you've got a partner and they dress not the way you want them to dress, that's not your business. What your business is, you can decide, okay, I want to be with this partner or not.
Nailed it. That's exactly it.
Exactly. Yeah. So let them be who they are and you be who you are. Is you both are unique in your own ways.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're not doing it your way, it doesn't mean their way is a wrong way. They just choose to not have a fancy wedding. Now, if you want your daughter, your son to have this fancy wedding, that is not your wedding.
Yeah.
Let them have the wedding they want.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to, if they don't want to, you know, sit down and watch a particular movie with you, unless you demand, you go, you know what, I really, really, but again, being authentic in that moment. You go, I really, really need you to be sitting with me and watching this movie.
Mm.
But if they don't want to watch that movie with you, let them not to watch that movie with you. And just, you know, okay, you want to spend time with them. Just be honest, say, I want to spend some time, quality yeah. time with you. What should we do?
Yeah, I love that.
So make it our project, not a my project. Because, and this podcast is about, you know, the project of you.
Ooh.
So you only can control the project of you, not the project of them.
I love that. That's so beautiful. You're good. You should do this professionally. Which reminds me, if you would like to book a one-on-one session or just get a free consultation, have a phone chat, 15 minutes,
yes.
completely complimentary, jump on our website, www.theprojectofyou.com.au. Shout out to us on Instagram at @theprojectofyou. DM us, reach out. We would love to connect with you.
Absolutely. So listen to our podcast. Please subscribe. Share with your friends and leave us a comment or question. I'd be more than happy to answer your question.
Yes, any topics you'd like for us
to cover,
send us an email.
Do that, absolutely. Once again, a reminder, this is not a therapy session. This is just to share some basic information and knowledge with you. We love you. And we cannot wait to hear from you. And if you are at and about, you know, near Sydney, you must come to one of our retreats.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very exciting. We do them almost every month and we have different themes each time. So jump on our website again and have a look at our upcoming retreats.
Yes, our upcoming retreats is Girls Getaway. So it's a women retreat, women wellness retreat, and we are looking forward to do it. And see you there.
See you there.
Okay, bye.
Bye.